Good morning. Today's daf from Pesachim Nun Hey. We're on Nun Dalamud Beis. We are starting this morning halfway down on Nun Dalamud Beis with the words Darash Rava. And fourth parak of Pesachim, we're talking about Minhagim. Various Minhagim that took hold amongst the Jewish people, but not necessarily amongst all the Jewish people. And certain communities took on certain Minhagim and certain communities did not. The first topic of this parak, taking us all the way back to Daf Nun. So that was a discussion regarding what happens when you travel from one community to another. And now the Mishnayos are just simply observing various Minhagim that developed in certain communities and not developed in other communities. The Mishnah yesterday's Daf on Nundal Medbeis took on the topic of the Minhag of not to do Malacha on Tisha B'Av. So Tisha B'Av is not a Yantiv. It's not one of the Moadim. Tisha B'Av is something that we find first in the Nevi'im, has roots in some of the episodes in Chumash, but it for the most part commemorates the Chorban by Rishon by Sheni and other events as well. But anyway, it's a din derabban. It's not a din deraisa. There's no malacha on Tisha B'Av. However, certain communities took on a minhag of not to do malacha on Tisha B'Av. So the mission opened up yesterday. Malkum shenagu lasos malacha b'Tisha B'Av osim. Malkum shenagu shelo lasos malacha ein osim. Good. So there are some communities who took on the minhag of not doing malacha on Tisha B'Av. As long as the Mishnah was talking about Tisha B'Av yesterday, so the Gemara made a couple of comments regarding Tisha B'Av. We saw yesterday the comment of Shmuel that as far as the Tanit Sibor is concerned in Bavel, so the only Tanit Sibor that's in Bavel is Tisha B'Av. Tanit Sibor, when we get to Masechta Tanis, we're going to be discussing this in much greater detail. So Tanis Sibor is a formal Tanis that's accepted by the community. Generally speaking, in Eretz Yisrael, it's due to a lack of rain. In Eretz Yisrael proper, this is a significant issue. In fact, there's no rain. So in order to beseech a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so there are certain public fast days that are enacted. What about in Bavel? So what Shmuel told us yesterday is that in Bavel, there's no formal Tanis in Bavel outside of Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the only formal established public fast day. And we went through Rashi yesterday in terms of understanding Shmuel's statement better. Rashi talked about in Bavel, there's no need for rain. And even if there's a fast day that's enacted for other issues, but it's not going to take on the full force and the full formality of a public fast day. That was Shmuel's comment that we went through yesterday. Darash Rava, this is now where we're going to pick it up in the Gemara. So we are in the middle of Nun Dalamud Beis. We're halfway down the Amud and continuing this discussion of comments regarding Tisha B'Av. Darash Rava, Ubros, Umenikos, Misanos, Mashlimos, Boki, Darash, Misanos, Mashlimos, B'Yom HaKippurim. So regarding Tisha B'Av, so Rava darshins that if you are pregnant, if you are nursing, so you're going to treat Tisha B'Av like Yom Kippur, meaning you're going to fast on Tisha B'Av. So you fast on it and you're mashlim. Obviously, if there's a sakana that's present, so then obviously you're not going to fast, but that would also be true on Yom Kippur as well. But in other words, but the default position regarding fasting on Tisha B'Av is that we're going to be treating it like Yom Kippur. So you're nursing and you're pregnant, but you could do it. So then you're going to fast. So Ubenesh Mashu Shalom Asr. Now as far as Benesh Mashu is concerned, so that's going to be Asr, meaning that not only do you have to stop eating at the night of Tisha B'Av, but already the Benesh Mashu's period, that Suffolk period, that twilight period, entering into Tisha B'Av and also exiting, so you cannot eat as well, just like we would do by Yom Kippur as well. V'chein Amr Mishmei Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says, and then not only is it said over in the name of Rava, but it also said over in the name of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan endorses everything we just said regarding Tisha B'Av. Umiyama Rav Yochanan Hachi, the Gemara says, now, as far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, so we think we have an inconsistency, Vama Rav Yochanan, because Rav Yochanan says Tisha B'Av ainu ketan and tzibur. So we know that Rav Yochanan said that Tisha B'Av is not like a tan and tzibur, that there is some qualitative difference between Tisha B'Av and a standard tan and tzibur. Now, what did he mean by that? So the Gemara now is going to go and rifle through a number of possibilities. My love, the Ben Hashmashos. So presumably what he meant by that is Ben Hashmashos, that by Tanit Sibor, so already you have to stop eating during the Ben Hashmashos period. That's not true by Tisha B'Av. Now, if that's true, so then Rav Yochanan's being inconsistent. Because previously we said that Rav Yochanan endorsed everything that Rava said. And Rava said that during the Ben Hashmashos period of Tisha B'Av, you have to stop eating. And now it sounds like Rav Yochanan doesn't agree with that. But the Gemara says love, but the Gemara says no. As far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, you have to stop eating already at Ben Hashmashos. Now, vis-a-vis what Rav Yochanan meant when Rav Yochanan said that Tisha B'Av is not like a Tanit Sibor, so Rav Yochanan could have meant a lot of things. And the Gemara now is going to go through and shuffle through a bunch of things that Rav Yochanan could have meant when saying that there's some contrast that exists between Tisha B'Av and a Tanit Sibor. So the Gemara says, lo lemalacha. So the Gemara says, no, the difference between them is going to be malacha. So lemalacha tanina, the Gemara says, malacha, we knew about tanina. I'm sorry, we knew about malacha well before Rav Yochanan came on the scene. Where do we know it from? We knew it from our Mishnah. Makam shenagu lasos malacha b'tisha b'av osim, makam shenagu shlo lasos, ein osin. So we already have our Mishnah that tells us that that there's no Issa Malacha as it relates to Tisha B'Av. And Vafilo Rosh Hashanah Gamliel lo amar ela dechiyasev lo avid lo mechzei ki yuara ava meso lo asar. Now, there is the opinion of Rosh Hashanah Gamliel. Rosh Hashanah Gamliel in our Mishnah says that a person should abstain from doing Malacha and Tisha B'Av. Yeah, so that's true, but Rosh Hashanah Gamliel is not suggesting for a moment that it's asar to do Malacha and Tisha B'Av. He's just simply saying that it's recommended. But it's not an Isser. So we already knew that the difference between Tisha B'Av and a Tanit Sibur, so everyone has to stop working. Tanit Sibur is, in this regard, in regard to Malacha, is more formal than even Tisha B'Av. Okay, good. But the point of the Gemara is that I didn't need Rav Yochanan to teach me that on Tisha B'Av there is a Heter Malacha. We knew that already. So Allah Mai Enu Ketanit Sibur. So the Gemara says, okay, so what did Rav Yochanan mean when he said that there's some contrast between Tisha B'Av and Tanit Sibur? So the Gemara says, Tfilah, Tfilas Ne'ilah. So the Gemara says, what about the extra davening, the extra Shemoneh Esrei? Anatana Sibur, so we have what's called Ne'ilah. Now, we're familiar with Ne'ilah because we have it on Yom Kippur. The Gemara now, we're going to see it together in Masechta Tanis, that Ne'ilah is not just limited to Yom Kippur. Ne'ilah also comes about on a public fast day, Anatana Sibur. So the Gemara says, so on Tisha B'Av there is no Ne'ilah. So the Gemara says, that's what Rav Yochanan meant. So the Gemara says, Va'amar Rav Yochanan halavai shispala adam v'holech chola yom kulo. So the Gemara says, what about the statement of Rav Yochanan that we saw back in Brachos? That, you know what, if a person wants to daven, he should be, he could be davening, not should. He could be davening all day. Well, halavai, right? Halavai is like a language of, it'd be wonderful if he were davening all day. So what do you mean there's no Ne'ilah on Tisha B'Av? You can add an extra Shemoneh Esrei if you want, but the Gemara notes the obvious difference. Hasim chova hachavishus. So the Gemara says there's obviously a difference between chova versus rishus, an obligation versus an option. There's an obligation to daven ne'ilah on a Tanit Sibur. On Tisha B'Av, there's no obligation. You'd like to option into to davening an extra Shemoneh Esrei, that's fine, but there's no obligation. If I say mamai enu ketanit Sibur, the Gemara offers another suggestion of what Rav Yochanan meant. And that is lesser in Varba. What about the extended Shemoneh Esrei? On a Tanit Sibur, there are 24 brachas in your Shemoneh Esrei. It's not 18 brachas. It's not 19 brachas. It's 24 brachas. You can add one more. Also, now that we added the 19th bracha, it's 25 brachas. Anyway, 6 additional brachas are added on a Tanit Sibur, which is not the case on Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara says, that's what Rav Yochanan could have meant. And the Gemara says, Rav Papa Amar, the Gemara says, and I'll tell you what, the truth of the matter is that really there's no stira between Rav Yochanan at all. Meaning you can go back to Rav Yochanan's original statement and it's no problem whatsoever. Meaning Rav Yochanan endorses what Rav said. Rav said at the beginning of Shir today that as far as Tisha B'Av is concerned, so if you are pregnant, if you're nursing, you got to fast on Tisha B'Av just like on Yom Kippur. And the Banish Mashas is going to be Asur. As far as Rav Yochanan is concerned, Rav Yochanan fully endorsed that. And what about the statement of Rav Yochanan that Tisha B'Av is not like a Tanit Sibur? Rav Papa says that's not a problem at all. Rav Papa Amar Mayinu Ketanit Sibur Ena Kerishonus Ela Ka'achronos Ve'asura. All Rav Yochanan meant is that, look, there are Tanit Sibur and then there's Tanit Sibur. Now, you might not understand what I meant by that. When we get to Masechta Tanit, so we're going to see it, in that Tanit Sibur starts off a little more gentle than the way it concludes. Meaning that, let's say we fast and the rain doesn't come. So the fasts intensify. And there's a string of 3 fasts followed by 3 fasts and we're going to learn over there the intensification of the fast days. All Rav Yochanan meant, says Rav Papa, is that when we are talking about and comparing Tisha B'Av and Tanit Sibur, so they're not the same if you're talking about the earlier Tanit Sibur. So in that regard, they're not the same. But once you get to the final Tanit Sibur, as the fast intensify, so then basically what we're looking at is the same thing, vis-a-vis that you're not allowed to do malacha during Banish Mashos. Or I should say better, you're not allowed to fast during Banish Mashos. That's all that Rav Yochanan meant, which comes down now that Rav Yochanan is not at all a stira to that which Rav is saying. that the Bein HaShemashah period is going to be prohibited. Meisvei, the Gemara challenges, Ein Bein Tisha B'Av Liyam HaKippurim, Elisha Zesveiko Asav, Zesveiko Mutter. So here we have a Brisa. The Brisa says that, what's the difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur? So Suffolk. Suffolk is going to be the difference. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Meisveiko Mutter. Now hopefully you remember this, because we already went over this exchange in the end of yesterday's daf. So Meisveiko Mutter, La Bein HaShemashah Shalom. So when we say that the suffix of Tisha B'Av is going to be mutter, ostensibly we're talking about the Bein HaShemashah. Well, that's difficult because Rava just pronounced publicly, and Rav Yochanan endorsed it as well, the idea that on Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to eat not only on Tisha B'Av proper, not only on the night, but even the Bein HaShemashah period. What's the brisa that just said that the suffix of Tisha B'Av is going to be mutter? What's that talking about? So I'm Rav Shisha, Bered Rav Idi, Lo Likvid Yarcha. No, it's not talking about the Bein HaShemashah period. The Bein HaShemashah period, you're not allowed to eat on Tisha B'Av. What is it talking about? So what it's talking about is the Kfiyah D'Archa. Now, we went over this at the end of yesterday's shiur. The Kfiyah D'Archa, we don't know, if you live in a community which you don't know which day was Rosh Chodesh, so you observe 2 days of Yontif, Sfeika D'Yuma. So, ostensibly, what it means is that for Tisha B'Av, you don't have to observe Sfeika D'Yuma. However, when it comes to Yom Kippur, you do have to observe Sfeika D'Yuma. Now, as we pointed out yesterday, what I just offered you is Rashi's Pshat. What it sounds like is that you have to observe 2 days of Yom Kippur, so that's not the practice. The practice is not to observe 2 days of Yom Kippur. On yesterday's daf, I noted, Tosos notes that even for us, the B'nai Galus, the diaspora, so we observe 2 days of Yom Kippur, but that's not true when it comes to Yom Kippur. We don't observe 2 days of Yom Kippur for pretty much the obvious reason, which is that's really onerous to fast 2 consecutive days. So Tosos, we went over this yesterday, Tosos offers an alternative shot of what the Gemara meant by Kviyah D'Archa. Anyway, but the point is that the Brisa is not talking about the Bein HaShemashah period. We are holding strong by the Bein HaShemashah. The Bein HaShemashah of Tisha B'Av, one doesn't eat. Just like the Bein HaShemashah of Yom Kippur, one doesn't eat as well. Okay, that kind of takes us to the end of that section of the Gemara. Now the Gemara is starting not a new topic, but basically, you can put a bookmark over here as the Gemara, this is the way Rashi understands it, as the Gemara now is going to be exploring another aspect. Halachol dvarim zeh v'zeh shavin. Now, vis-a-vis everything else, so they're going to be equivalent with one another. Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur is basically equivalent with one another. Now, we know, even as the Gemara says that, we know that there's not a perfect equivalency between the two of them. Obviously, Yom Kippur is a yantiv. There's an Isser Malach on Yom Kippur. There's no Isser Malach on Tisha B'Av. But vis-a-vis other aspects of Tisha B'Av and compared side by side with Yom Kippur, so they're going to be equivalent. What aspects? So the Gemara now is going to be discussing. So as far as the equivalency, that's talking about regarding Rechitza. So one is not allowed to bathe on Yom Kippur. One is not allowed to bathe any part of their body on Yom Kippur. The Isser Rechitza is even Aver. Even one limb at a time. You're not allowed to bathe on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara says in that regard, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur are going to be the same. The Isser Rechitza on Tisha B'Av is going to be just like the Isser Rechitza on Yom Kippur. Meisvei. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. Let's take a look together at our Braisa. Ein Bein Tisha B'Av. So here the Braisa says, what's the difference between Tisha B'Av and Tanit Sibor? So as far as the Tanit Sibor is concerned, there's an Isser Asiyas Malacha. No one's to go to work on a Tanit Sibor, on a public fast day. So everyone's got to participate in the public fast. However, when it comes to Tisha B'Av, as long as the minig of the community is not to abstain from malacha, so you can go to work on Tisha B'Av. Now, what is that telling us? That when you're putting side by side Tisha B'Av and Tanit Sibor, so the only difference is going to be the malacha. What does that mean? Halachol dvarim zeh v'zeh shavim. That means vis-a-vis other areas of halacha, they're going to be the same. V'ilu gabi tanit sibor tanya kishamru asur b'rechitza lo amru el kol gufo v'apanav yada v'raglav lo on a tanit sibor. So you can't bathe, but the only bathing that's prohibited on tanit sibor is the bathing of your entire body at once. Aver, if you want to go limb by limb, you want to wash your hands, your feet, your face on a tanit sibor, so that you're allowed to do. So you see, by Tanis Sibor, the Isser Rechitza is only called Gufo. So now we're saying that we know that to be the case by Tanis Sibor. We just compare Tisha B'Av to Tanis Sibor. That means on Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to bathe Panav Yadav Viraglav. So that now is difficult, because what we were trying to argue is that vis-a-vis the Issur of Rechitza, Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur are the same. So that's a problem. So Amar Rav Papa, Tana Kule Kule Katane. So the Rav Papa says no. In the brises that we were just learning together, the side-by-side comparisons, when we were comparing Tisha B'Av to Yom Kippur, when we were comparing Tisha B'Av to Tana Sibor, so what we were looking to highlight, what the Tana was looking to highlight, was only in the areas in which they are lenient. Meaning that they were not trying to make, the author of these two brises, were not trying to make full comparisons between, hey, let's take a look at a Tisha B'Av side-by-side with Yom Kippur. Let's take a look at a Tisha B'Av side-by-side with Tana Sibor. We were not looking to make full comparisons. The author of the brisa was just looking to highlight, hey, in this regard, Tisha B'Av is more lenient than that of Yom Kippur. In this regard, Tisha B'Av is more lenient than Tana Sibor. But in other areas of halacha, it could be that there are significant chumras one over the other. The Tana was only offering the side-by-side leniencies. The only way that Tisha B'Av is more lenient than Yom Kippur is regarding Suffolk, but Suffolk as we interpreted, Kviya Diarcha. The only way that Tisha B'Av is more lenient than Tana Sibor is by Malacha. But that's it. That's the only thing that the Tana was looking to do, not give a full comparison. Now with that stated, so then we don't have a problem whatsoever. Meaning that the Issur Rechitza on Tisha B'Av is actually more chamor than that of a Tana Sibor. But that wasn't the focus of the Braisa. Okay. Ad Kan, that takes us now to the top of Nunhei Amud Aleph. We just went through a good discussion in the Gemara, a lengthy discussion in the Gemara, almost the entirety of the Amud Beis yesterday, looking at the status of Tisha B'Av, how it compares with Yom Kippur, how it compares with the Tana Sibor. Good. We're now on the top of Nunhei Amud Aleph. We are continuing in our Mishnah from yesterday's daf. Now you recall in the Mishnah yesterday we talked about the minhag of not working on Tisha B'Av. Some communities have the minhag not to work, and some communities do not have the minhag. There's no iser, but some communities took on the minhag. And then the Mishnah endorsed a couple of positions. Number one, uvechol malkum tamid chachamim b'teilim. So we are now focusing on that line of the Mishnah. So if you're tamid chacham, so you should not go to work. Meaning, even if the minhag in your community is that they work, so you shouldn't go to work. So the Gemara says, Lamema de Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, sorry, before we go on in the Gemara, let's read on in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Amar La'olam Yase Adam Atzma Tamei Chacham. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, look, even if you're not a Tamei Chacham, here's one of those areas in Halacha where basically you should pretend you're a Tamei Chacham. Now, pretending you're a Tamei Chacham, so that comes with it, obviously, a risk. If you pretend like you're a Tamei Chacham, so that is what the Gemara's terminology is, Mechze Ki Yuara. It shows a level of arrogance. You're making yourself off, you're presenting yourself off as something that you're not. And so, generally speaking, the halacha is not a proponent of giving off that impression. And so, in our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, he's not worried about that. He allows a non-Tamei Chacham to give the impression that he's a Tamei Chacham. Right? Everyone's working, but you know what? I'm a Tamei Chacham. I'm not really a Tamei Chacham, but at least I'll give off the impression like I'm one, and therefore I won't work. That's the position of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara now notes that, obviously, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is not concerned about this yura, about this presentation of religious arrogance. He's not worried about that. So, lemeima de Rabbi Shimon Gamliel sevelo cheshin l'yura. Now, where do the rabbis stand in our Mishnah? So, presumably on the other side of that issue. Meaning, the Chachamim don't agree with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So now the Gemara notes Rav Shimon Gamliel Savri Chayshinan Le Yuara. So, and the Chachamim who will say to the non-Tamei Chacham, no, you know what, you go to work. Right? You're not a Tamei Chacham. And don't pretend like you're a Tamei Chacham and you should go to work. So obviously the Chachamim are concerned about this religious arrogance. So the Gemara says, good. That's how the positions line up in our Mishnah. However, but we know that they're taking the exact opposite positions going back to Brachos. So did now we learned in the Mishnah and Brachos regarding the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Chasan im yirtzeh lekoros Kriya Shema laila rishon korei. You're a chasan, right? You're getting married this evening. So you are torei bidvar mitzvah. You're preoccupied. There's a lot going on in the course of the evening that not only occupy your body, but also occupies your mind. This is what's called torei bidmitzvah, torei bidvar mitzvah. And so therefore, it's a sugya of osek bimitzvah, patur mina mitzvah. So therefore, as a chasan, so you're going to be exempt from saying Kriya Shema. So can you opt into saying Kriya Shema? So it's a machlokus in the amongst the Tanaim in the Mishnah in Brachos. So according to the Tana Kama, so the Tama Chacham, if he would like to, can opt in to the to saying Kriya Shema. And Rav Shimon Gamliel Amar Lo Kol Arutzel Litos Hashem Yito. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, that's not for everybody to do. If you're at a certain madrega and you can do it, where you can get married and you can also concentrate and focus and have kavanah for Shema, that's fine. But you can't pretend to be one of those people. And so what do we have over here? It's the exact opposite of what we're seeing in our Mishnah. And our Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel, is not worried about someone being pretentious. And meanwhile, the Mishnah in Brachos, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, don't be pretentious. So what we have over here is what's called a stira. And it's a stira in both directions, meaning it's a stira with Rav Shimon Gamliel, and it's also a stira according to the Chachamim as well. Am Rav Yochanan Muchlefes Hashita. So Rav Yochanan does his standard maneuver in these types of situations, and that is one of these positions are going to have to flip, right? The Gemara is not clear about which position we're going to flip, but we're going to have to flip one of the Mishnayos so then we have coordinated positions and agreed to positions, Bein L'Rishim and Gamliel and Bein L'Chachamim. Okay, at one time I'm going to carry through with my thread, right? I have a database, I could search it and find out the number of times in Shas that Rav Yochanan says Muchlefes Hashita. It's numerous, but anyway, it's a move of his. We're gonna have to flip it around. Now, Rav Shisha Baredi, Rav Idi Amar Lo Tepoch. And Rav Shisha Baredi says no. What we could do is that we can isolate each of the debates and localize each of the debates. And here's how we're gonna do it. The Rabbanah Lo Kasha Hachakem Dekule Ama Avdei Malacha V'Yolo Aved Mechze Kiyuara. Look, let's isolate the Tisha B'Av phenomena. Everyone's going to work. You're not going to work. That's pretentious. But for the chassan saying Shema, everyone's going to shul, everyone's saying Shema, you're just doing what everyone else is doing. That's not pretentious. And so that's how we can divide those two cases. And the Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Kasha Hasam, Hu Debi'in and Kavana, Van and Sade, De La Matze Kavne, Daite, Merse Kiyura. And also, we could do the same thing for Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. And that is, we could localize each of the issues. When it comes to Shema, look, we know for the chassan getting married, his mind is elsewhere. We know that he's not going to have kavana. By him saying Shema that evening, we know he's being pretentious. However, vis-a-vis the person on Tisha B'Av who's not going to work, okay, so if you don't have work to go to, so that's not pretentious. In fact, what do people say when people don't have a job to go to? Okay. The guy's a batlan, the guy's lazy, he simply doesn't have work to go to. So that does not necessarily speak to the idea that this is an issue of religious arrogance. It could be understood very well as an issue of just simple laziness. Good, so it could very well be, this is now the second approach of the Gemara, that there is no stira between neither the Rebbe Shimon and Gamliel's of Psachim and Brachos, nor the Chachamim of Psachim and Brachos, and it could just simply be that we have to treat each issue independent of the other. Mishnah. We are on Nun Heimad Aleph. We are continuing over here in the Mishnah. Two Mishnahs on this Amud. We're on Mishnah number one. Mishnah starts off. V'chachamim omrim b'Yehuda yosim malacha bar v'psachim ad chatzos. So in terms of this minhag of not doing malacha on Erev Pesach, we're back to Erev Pesach. So here in our Mishnah, we're going to learn together that really the nation is divided in this minhag between the north and the south, right? Funny how nations divide in that manner. But between the north and the south. And so in Yehuda, that's the southern region of Eretz Yisrael, so there they would do malacha on Erev Pesach. And again, malacha on Erev Pesach, we're talking about minhagim, we're talking about up until chatzos. After chatzos, there's a halacha not to do malacha. But before that, from morning until chatzos, so in Yehuda, they took it upon themselves that not to accept this minhag. Uvegala lo hayo osin kol ikar. Now in the Gala up in the north, so they would not be doing malacha at all. Meaning the entire day they would not do malacha in the north, in the Gala. Now what about the night prior? Lel Yadalad, which is the night that we opened up our Masechta with. That's the night of Bedikas Chametz. Does the Isser Malacha for the people living in the north, does it extend even to the night? So that's a machlokus. Interesting machlokus, Beisham and Beisela. So halayla beishamay osim beisalam atir maran etzachama. So here, within this minog, so beishamay says that the minog includes also the night prior, and beisal says no, it only starts the morning. Now you'll notice that we're talking about a minog, and then we talked about the night prior. So first of all, just interesting that up until this point, we are now approaching the end of the fourth perek. And only now at this late stage of the perek, do we even introduce the night as part of the minhag? Okay, that in of itself is interesting. But the language of the Mishnah, as it's talking about the night, what does it say? It says, Beis Shammai Osrim, Isser. That's a strong language. But especially when we're talking about a minhag. And the Gemara picks up on that right away. We start with the Gemara. Mi'ikara tana minhagol of itself. Tana isura. We're talking about a minhag. And then we're using terminology like iser. That's very difficult to understand. I'm Rav Yochanan lokasha ha Rebbe Meir ha Rebbe Yehuda d'tanya. So Rav Yochanan explains it's a machlokis ha-tanayim. The later tanayim, meaning Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda, it's a machlokis ha-tanayim in terms of how to frame this practice. Is this a practice of minhag or is this a practice of iser? I'm Rav Yehuda, and we're going to see it now in the following brisa. I'm Rav Yehuda b'Yehuda, how you also malacha bar v'psachim ar chatzos. So Rav Yehuda says that in the province of Yehuda, right, don't get confused. You see the word Yehuda twice. First time town, second time province. So Rav Yehuda says that in the province of Yehuda, so malacha will be done in the morning of Erev Pesach, up until chatzos. Uve galal ein osim kol ikar, and now in the galal you do not do malacha at all. The entire day of the 14th. I'm a little Rameir Mavra Umarayu Yehuda Lagala Vigala Lakan. What are you doing comparing the two? Ela Makum Shinagu Lasos Malacha Osim. Makum Shinagu Shalol Lasos Ein Osim. And Rabbi Meir says, look, it's all function of Minag. Now, what's going on in this price over here? Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are clearly debating. What are they debating? So So if you look carefully at the brisa we just read, and you look at the language of Rav Meir, he says minog. So mechlal de Rav Yehuda isura kamar. That means that Rav Yehuda was understanding that the issue is over here shouldn't be framed with the word minog, but rather should be framed with the word iser. So that means to say that according to Rav Yehuda, we're talking here about an iser. V'sever Rav Yehuda arbasar mutar basias malacha. So that means to say that according to Rav Yehuda, the 14th you're allowed to do malacha. Meaning that is Rav Yehuda Shita as it relates to the morning of the 14th, at least in the province of Yehuda. V'hatayin, the Gemara says, okay, but consider now the following brisa. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda discusses the following. We're talking about somebody weeding his field on the on Erev Pesach. Now, just to get a good understanding of what's about to happen in this brisa, so we know that there's the Isur of Chadash, any grains that grew over the course of the season. So are going to be aser chadash aser min haTorah, and when are the grains that grew over the winter going to be mutter? So the answer is going to be on the second day of Pesach with the bringing of the Karban Omer. Good. So now which grains are incorporated or included within the iser of chadash? So it's not only the grains that we harvested, but even the grains in the ground. At what early stage of development? As long as the grains took root, they qualify for the previous year. And so that means to say that even the grains in the ground, as long as they took root, so you bring the Karban Omer, those grains in the ground that took root, so, and they're not even grains, by the way, they're just seeds. The seeds in the ground that took root, they're going to become mutter through the bringing of the Karban Omer. Okay. With that in mind, let's now talk about the following brisa. V'hatanya, we learned in the brisa. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Menachesh B'Shosha Asar. So let's say you're weeding your field on the 13th day of Nisan. We'll talk why in a moment. We're speaking specifically about the 13th day of Nisan. V'nekra b'yado, and then by accident, you don't mean to, but you pulled out one of the wheat grains, one of the wheat seeds. So what are you going to do now? So what you're going to do is you're going to put it back in the ground. Here is the consideration. Shosla b'makam atid b'en shosla b'makam ha'agarir. Put it into moist ground, do not put it into dry ground. Why would you want to do that? So as Rashi explains over here, I'll say the Rashi outside, because when you put it into moist ground, so it's you now have, it has 3 days to take root. Because consider now you're on the 13th day of Nisan. So what do you have now? 13th, 14th, 15th? Truth of the matter is you really have now 4 days, but it's not four full days. But you have 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th. So 4 days, again, on the 13th and on the 16th, it's not full days. But we'll count it as 4 days. between you replanting it and now you're good to go. What do I mean good to go? Once you bring the carbon omer on the 16th, so this is considered as if it took root. Meaning that if I replant on the 13th, we could successfully say that it has now taken root, so that the carbon omer is going to be matir. Good. And now the Gemara makes the following observation. Now let's read the Braisa carefully. You don't have to be that careful when you read the Braisa. It's a simple observation. The Braisa says that you were weeding and accidentally pulled it out of the ground on the 13th. Now why did it say 13th? Michti. Now, it happens to be that how long does it take for it to take root? So we know that according to Rabbi Yehuda, none other than Rabbi Yehuda, we know that it only needs 3 days to take root. Now, so now the Gemara says, so let's plug that in. 3 days to take root. So the Braisa didn't have to be describing you working on the 13th. The Braisa could have easily described you working on the 14th, and everything would have been fine. So lamali shlosha asar va'ikar ba'isar v'chameisar mixa shitzar. Meaning, if you were allowed to work on the 14th, so then consider if you put it back in the ground the 14th. So what do you have? You have day 14, day 15, and day 16. You have 3 days. Shouldn't that work? So what the Gemara now is trying to argue is, you know why Rav Yehuda has you back up until the 13th? Because you can't work on the 14th because there's an Ister Malacha on the 14th. That's what the Gemara is trying to argue. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know what? You could try to argue that, but that's not the only conclusion. So first of all, Amar Rava Begalo Shandu. So first of all, Rava says that, look, Rav Yehuda could be describing the weeding that's taking place up in the north. Remember, in the north, they took it upon themselves not to do malacha the entire day of the 14th. That's one simple suggestion. And Vaika Leila. So the Gemara says, what about the night prior to the 14th? I'm Rav Sheshes Kebet Shammai. So first of all, the night prior to the 14th, we know that according to Beit Shammai, the minig extended even there. Rav Ashi Amar Lolam Kebet Zalof, Hishayin Darko Shabin Adam Lanachish Balayla. Or maybe, look, we're just going to talk about the normal behavior of people are, and that is people do not start weeding on the night prior. And Ravina Amar La'olam B'Yehuda, Uva'ashar Shechad Mixas Yom Kekula Aminan, Trey Mixas Yom Kekula Lo Aminan. And another suggestion of the Gemara is that, look, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about you need 3 days for it to take root. No, you're allowed to, in Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to work on the morning of the 14th. But if you were to pull out a seed on the morning of the 14th and put it back in the ground, now what? You simply don't have enough time for it to take root. Because what do you have? You have a half a day of the 14th, you have the entirety of the 15th, and you only have not even half a day of the 16th. You can't count that as 3 days vis-a-vis this particular halacha. That's why Rabbi Yehuda described and discussed the weaning on the 13th. So from that braisa, we cannot conclude anything regarding how Rabbi Yehuda feels regarding working on the 14th in the province of Yehuda. In fact, the Gemara has concluded that no, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the minag in Yehuda was to be able to do malacha on the morning of the 14th. Next Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Amar Kol Malacha Sheitzchol Ba'Kar Mala Arbasar Gomer Ba'Arbasar. So if you started a malacha on the morning of the 14th, you can finish it. Aval lo yaschol ba'betchila ba'arba'asar afa pishu yachol gomra. However, according to Reb Meir, if you start a malach on the morning of the 14th, don't. You can't. And even if you know that it's a small job and I'm going to be finished by the end of the morning, still don't start it. The chachamim say gimel umni ososim malach bar vipsachim ad chatzos. There are three professions where they can keep their doors open on the morning of the 15th. On the morning of the 14th, sorry. Ve'elohein, and they are chayatim tailors, the saparim. Barbers, vakovsim, launderers, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Amar Afaratzanim, even the shoemaker, the Schneider. So they can remain open on the morning of the 14th. Now, Ibailahu. So in our Mishnah, we had the halacha of Rav Meir. That is a malacha that already was started before the 14th. You can finish up on the morning of the 14th, but you can't start a job on the morning of the 14th. And so, although Rav Meir is pretty clear, however, when you're starting a job on the morning of the 14th, what kind of job are you working on? Something that you need for Yontif? Something that you don't need for Yontif? That's what the Gemara is going to explore. Ibai Lahu. L'tzarech ha-moed tanan. Is our Mishnah describing something that is tzarech ha-moed? Aval shelo l'tzarech ha-moed afilo migmar nami lo. So one possibility is that, and this is the most stringent possibility, is that Rav Meir's halacha of our Mishnah means that you are only allowed to complete a job on the morning of the 14th that you need for Yontif. However, if it is something that you don't need for Yontif, you can't even complete a job on the morning of the 14th. That's one possibility. Odelma shalol tzarech ha-moed tanan. Or maybe a second possibility. And that is shalol tzarech ha-moed. Nah, I don't need it. The Mishnah is talking about something that I don't need for Yontif. Aval tzarech itzchule matzchilinan. But if I need it for Yontif, so then I can even start the job on the morning of the 14th. Odelma ben tzarech ha-moed ben shalol tzarech ha-migmar in itzchule lo. Or maybe no. Maybe the variable of whether I need it for Yontif or I don't need it for Yontif is simply not a variable at all. And the only question you need to ask yourself is, can I start a job or can I only finish a job? And what Rav Meir is saying is that I can't start a job in the morning, but I can finish a job on the morning of the 14th. Okay, so those are three different possibilities of what Rabbi Meir meant, Tashma. And what we're going to be doing now for a little while is we're going to see of these three possibilities, which one is endorsed by a Tana. So we're going to go through three brisas consecutively, back to back to back. Number one, Tashma. Aval lo yascha b'tchila b'arba'asar afilu tzilso katana afilu svacha katana. Don't start even a small job on the morning of the 14th. Not a belt, not a little hairnet. So my afilu. Now when it says not even, so my love afilu hani de letzor chamoed. So migmar in atchulilo. So presumably we're talking about something that you even need for Yontif. It's a conjecture. It's speculation, but isn't that what we're describing? And doesn't it mean to say that you can finish but you can't start? And that would imply then that if I don't need it for Yontif, I can't even finish the job in the morning. That could be what the Braisa means, but the Gemara says, yeah, but the Braisa doesn't have to mean that. Lo. So no, it could very well be that even if it's shalol l'tzarech, even if I don't need it for Yontif, so I could finish off the job on the 14th. My afilu, afilu haninam, desuchininu, desagadach hamina, atchalatan zui gemar melachtan, nascha behu nami lechatzchila kamash malan. Look, here's the hava, here's what I might have thought. That, look, these are really small jobs. A small belt, right? Rashi here describes it as a bendle. So a small belt, or a hairnet. They're such small jobs that I might have entertained the idea that I can even start those jobs on Erev Pesach, because I know I'm going to finish them. That would have been the Havamina. The Maskana is no. Yeah, for these really small jobs, you can start. But as far as whether I need them for Moed or not, I don't need them for Moed, the Braisa is not dealing with that at all. Tashma, here's Braisa number two. Rabbi Meir Omer Kom Lachashit L'Tzorech HaMoed. So here in the Braisa, we're talking about things that are needed for Yontif. So Gomra Be'arba Asar, we're on the top of the Amud Beis. So you finish it on the 14th. That's only if you started before the 14th. But if you didn't start it before the 14th, lo yaschaba ba'arba asar. You can't start it on the morning of the 14th. Not a small belt, not a small hairnet. Now, let's try to read this Braisa carefully. Litzorech hamoed in. So now, in the Braisa, it does say the words litzorech hamoed, which means shalol tzarech ha-moed lo. So that if it's not tzarech ha-moed, no, you can't even finish it. So the Gemara says, no. Hu adin da'afil shalol tzarech ha-nami gamrinan. The Gemara says, no. Even if it's shalol tzarech ha-moed, you can finish the job. V'hakam ha-shmolan da'afil tzarech ha-moed migmar in atchul lo. The only point the Braisa wanted to make was the following. I need it for Yontif. I might have thought that if I need it for Yontif, so then you can even start on the morning of the 14th. That's what I would have thought. And the Braisa is here to tell us, no. You can't start it on the morning of the 14th, even if I need it for Yontif. So even from that Braisa, not super clear. Tashma. Here's a third Braisa. Now, third time's a charm, because in the third Braisa, it's going to be super clear. Rabbi Meir Omer Kol Malacha Shilu Tzarech HaMoed. Any malacha that I need for Yontif. So Gomra Ba'arba Asar. So I finish it on the morning of the 14th. V'she'enu Tzarech HaMoed Asar. However, if I don't need it for Yontif, so then I can't finish it on the morning of the 14th. Now you could do malacha on Erev Pesach up until the morning if that's the minig of your community, i.e. if you're in the province of Yehuda. So makom shenagu in lo nagu lo. So what the Braisa says over here is that that's only in the makom where you have the minig, but if the minig is not, no. Now the Braisa couldn't be any clearer. The Braisa says that the only time that you could finish a job on the morning of the 14th is only if it's Tzorech HaMoed. But if it's not Tzorech HaMoed, you cannot finish the job, even if you're going to finish it prior to Chatzos. Okay, so this Braisa is extraordinarily clear. The Gemara concludes. V'chachamim omim shlosh umnios. Now the Chachamim say three stores can keep their shingles open up until Chatzos. Tana. The Braisa that the Gemara is going to quote now is going to speak about this in slightly more detail. Ha chayatan shekena hedyo tofer kedarka b'cholosh HaMoed. The tailor can remain open because there are allowances for tailoring to be done during Chol HaMoed. And basically what we're going to say is that, look, if there's a heter to do so on Chol HaMoed, which is on a higher level of Kedushin than that of Erev Pesach, then for sure in Erev Pesach it's going to be okay, at least up until Chatzos. Hasa parim v'hakovsin shekein abam medinas yam v'ayotzim mibeis asur misapim v'mechavsin b'chol shomoed. Now, as far as barbers and launderers are concerned, so you know that in Chol HaMoed there are heterim to get a haircut, and there's a heter to do laundry on Chol HaMoed, right? You were you came from an extraordinary long trip, and you happen to have come back on Chol HaMoed, or you come out of jail on Chol HaMoed. So you have a heter to get a haircut. You have a heter to launder clothing. So as long as the heter is out there for Chol HaMoed, so for sure there's going to be a heter for Erev Pesach up until Chatzos. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Amar, Afar Ratzanim Shekein Ole Regalim Mitaknim Minalim Mechol Shel Moed. Now here in the Braisa, the Shita of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, which we saw back in our Mishnah, is that the Schneider, so he can also open up an Erev Pesach, because look, Ole Regalim, people making Aliyah L'Regel, so they just walked a long way. So they may need a little bit of work on their shoes. So good. And they can get their shoes fixed on Chol HaMoed, so for sure they can get their shoes fixed on Erev Pesach. So Bema Kemiflugi. Now clearly, the Tanakama of the Mishnah and the Braisa don't agree regarding the Schneider. So Bema Kemiflugi, Mar Sava Lamedim Tchilas Malacha Besof Malacha, or Mar Sava Ein Lamedim Tchilas Malacha Besof Malacha. Look, the fixing of the shoes, that's Sof Malacha. That is not, you cannot learn that from the Haskalas Malacha. Meaning, vis-a-vis, the allowance of the Chol HaMoed. So that's only for the Aschalas Malacha, but for the Gemar Malacha, for the fixing of the shoes. So we can't learn anything vis-a-vis that particular halacha. So, and that's the Tanakhama's viewpoint. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda obviously disagrees. Okay. Last Mishnah of the day. Moshivin, Shovchim, Latarnagolim, Biyadalid, Vitarnagolim, Shabarcha, Machzirno, Solim, Koma. So various activities that are going to be allowed on the 14th. Now, in general, we have this idea of what's called Tircha Yesera, meaning that the Chachamim do not want us to get involved in laborious activities on these days that are quasi-yantifs. In other words, Chol HaMoed, quasi-yantif, Erev Pesach, quasi-yantif. And so certain allowances that are given, and what the Mishnah here is going to do is it's going to run through three different halachas regarding certain allowances that we're allowed to do. The first halacha is Moshivin Shochin L'Tarnagolim. Rashi explains over here is that you put the chicken on top of the egg in order to warm up the egg. So we want the fertilized egg to grow. And so what we're going to do now is that we're going to put a mother on top of the egg. And that's the kind of activity which is okay on the 14th. And Tarnagol Shabarcha Machzir Noso Lim Kama. And if you, let's say, have the mother run away, so you can bring it back. The Imesa Moshivin Acheres Tachta. Now let's say the mother hen dies, so what you could do is you could replace it. Okay, so these are three activities or three different scenarios that one is allowed to do on Yudalid. It does not qualify as Tircha Yisera, or maybe another way to say it is it kind of does qualify as Tircha Yisera, but for the salvaging of the egg, it's justified. Now, Gorfa Mitachas Ragla Behema Biyadalad of Vamoed, Misalkin Lestadin. What about clearing the manure from the front lawn? So on the 14th, so you can actually sweep it aside from under the legs of the animal. But in Chol HaMoed, so the only thing you could do is just push it away, but that's it. That's the only thing you could do in Chol HaMoed. Again, this idea that Chol HaMoed is slightly more, has more kedusha than that of Erev Pesach. And finally, the third halacha of this Mishnah, Malichim Kelim Avivian, Mibesa Uman Afa Pishen El Tzorcha Moed. Can you go pick up your finished kli? So the Mishnah says, yes, you can, even though it's not Litzorach HaMoed, even though you don't need it for Yantav. Okay, so three halachas in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to be discussing all three in somewhat more detail. Number one, the returning of the hen over the egg. Hashta usuve mosvinan. Adurmi baye. The Mishnah seems to be making a superfluous point. The Mishnah is telling us that I can pick up a hen for the very first time and put out an egg, even though there's no connection between hen and egg, but nevertheless I could do so. So if I already had the hen sitting on the egg, and it ran away, so isn't it now an obvious point that you can return the hen to the egg? Okay. For all you non-agriculturists out there, I'm one of you. So obviously these halachas are just, something that don't affect our day-to-day life. But anyway, but the point still, I more or less get. So Amar Abaye Seifas on the Chol HaMoed. So Abaye says the end of the Mishnah is talking about Chol HaMoed. Meaning, Abaye tells us like this. On Erev Pesach, which again, is a quasi-yantiv. It's like Chol HaMoed, but just a couple degrees less than Chol HaMoed. So on Erev Pesach, so you can even put the hen on Lichatchila on top of the egg. On Chol HaMoed, slightly more Kedusha, you cannot do so Lichatchila, but you can return. That's what the Mishnah is making reference to. It is admittedly a difficult way to read the Mishnah because the Mishnah just shifted topics in mid-sentence. Meaning in the beginning was talking about Erev Pesach, and then it just made that shift to Chol HaMoed, and you have to be a critical reader in order to realize that, but that's what Abai is teaching us. Am Rav Huna lo shanu ela toch shlosha lemir da. Rav Huna now is going to throw in a couple of qualifications regarding the hen and its egg. As far as the allowance is concerned, that's only when it's 3 days within its rebellion, right? The rebellion of the hen is where the hen is running away, right? Leaving the egg. Dakati lo parach simra, mina. There's still some sort of warmth in the egg, and we could salvage the egg. In other words, we can still incubate. V'acher shloshali shivasa. And it's already been sitting on it for 3 days. The pseida lo bai lagamre. We're not going to lose the egg outright. However, if let's say this is now more than 3 days where the hen has not been sitting on the egg, where at that point in time all warmth is gone, incubation is going to be basically aborted, or toch shlosha li shivasa dakati lo pseida bei lagamre, or within 3 days of where it first sat on the egg, where there, even if the hen runs off, we're not going to lose the egg entirely. There are some people who would eat such an egg. Admittedly, not a lot of people, but Rashi describes over here, there are some people that would eat the egg. So lo mehadrina, under those circumstances, since it is either totally lost or somewhat salvageable, so then you're not allowed these leniencies of picking up a hen and putting it back on. So Rabbi Ami Amar Afilo Toch Shoshali Shiva Sam Madrinan. And Rabbi Ami says no. If it's even if it's within 3 days of the hen sitting on the egg, and even though if the hen runs off, it's somewhat salvageable. But Rabbi Ami says you could take the hen and put it back on again. And by my kemitligim, our sefer lehafsim meruba chashashu lehafsimu lo chashashu, our sefer lehafsimu nami chashashu. And what's that debate over here is, look, clearly there's going to be some hefsed. What is the threshold of hefsed that allows for the manipulation of the hen? And so if the egg is somewhat salvageable, if some people are going to eat it, so what they're debating is that enough of a hefsed where we are allowed to go ahead on Chol HaMoed, on Erev Pesach, pick up the hen and put it back on the egg? Okay, good. Gorfa mitachas, now we talk about sweeping the manure tanner. Rabbanan azev shabachatzim asakanos olitz dadin. If I have manure in the courtyard, so we can push it to the side. Sheberefes, if we're talking about the barn, Shebechatzer, Motzino Solashpa. So the So there, you can actually put it in the in the garbage. Garbage over here, meaning an area designated for the manure. So Hagufa Kasha now, aren't you a little bit confused by the Braisa? So the first part of the Braisa says, you can push it to the side, but that's it. And then the very end of the Braisa talks about how you can totally remove it from the courtyard. That's confusing. Amar Abaye, at this point in our sugi, you can already anticipate the answer. Are we talking about Erev Pesach? Are we talking about Chol HaMoed? Again, they both have quasi-yontif statuses. But when it comes to Erev Pesach, more allowances. Therefore, you can actually remove the manure. On Chol HaMoed, the only thing you could do is move the manure, but not remove the manure. Rav Amar Haba b'Chol HaMoed, Rav gives a different approach to understanding the Braisa. Both parts of the Braisa are talking about on Chol HaMoed. V'achi kamarim nasa chatzah kerefes, motzino sol l'ashpa. And the second half of the Braisa talks about the following. If your chatzah starts to look like a refes, right? You walk into the kid's room, it looks like a barnyard in here. So the Braisa is describing where you walk out to your chatzah and it's just there's manure everywhere. So under those circumstances, it's so uncomfortable, so unpleasing, that the allowance is that you could totally remove the manure from the courtyard. Okay, but both of them are talking about on Chol HaMoed. And finally, last halacha, molichen kelim u'mevim mibeis ha'uman, picking up your finished kli. Our Mishnah says you're allowed to do so. Am Rapapa badaglan Rava. So Rapapa says that, look, we were tested by Rava. Rav gave us the following fair. Tanam, we learned in our Mishnah, Malichin Mavi and Kalim Ibeis Oman Afapi, She'enan Litzarech HaMoed. We learned in our Mishnah that you can go ahead and you can pick up your Kli. You get a phone call on Erev Pesach. Your Kli is done. You can pick it up from the Beis Oman, even if I don't need it for Yantif. And that's not considered an unnecessary Tzarech. Uriminu. And on that, we have now another Braisa. Mavin Kelim Beis Oman Vim Choshesh Lehem Shemayignavu Mifanin Lechatzer Acheres. So here in this Braisa, the Braisa says you cannot pick up the kli from the Oman. You get a phone call telling you that it's finished. You can't go pick it up. Now, if you're worried that if it's not in your property, it's going to get lost or stolen. So under those circumstances, there is a small allowance. You can move it into another chatzer, but you cannot bring it home with you. Umishaninam, we have what's called a stira between Braisa number one, Braisa number two. Braisa number one allows for pickup. Braisa number two does not allow for pickup. That's the question that Rava asked Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, here was our answer. Lokasha kambar basar, kambichol shamawed. Okay, good. Theme of the day. You're allowed to pick it up on Erev Pesach. You're not allowed to pick it up on Chol HaMoed. Again, the small difference that exists between the quasi-antif status of Erev Pesach versus the quasi-antif status of Chol HaMoed. I'll give you another way to answer between the two braises. They're both describing Chol HaMoed v'lokasha. Kan be'ma'amino, kan b'sheino ma'amino. So one braisa, you have full confidence in the Uman. You know that if you don't pick it up now, you'll come back after Yontif. It'll be there. And in the other braisa, we're talking about eno ma'amino. Look, you trust him to fix it, but that's it. In other words, you don't trust the item if it just stays there. Ve'atanya mevi'in kelim mi'beis ha'uman kagon. Ha'kad mi'beis ha'kadar ve'akosh mi'beis ha'zagag. Avalo temer mi'beis ha'tzavav alo kelim mi'beis ha'uman. Ve'im ein lo ma yochal. No sin lo shikado. Uminichin etzlo. Ve'im eino ma'amino. Minicho be'bais ha'samachlo. Ve'im choshe shema yignavu. Mevi'in b'tzina b'soch beiso. I know that was a long braisa. But in the braisa, effectively what we said is, you could pick up your kli from the Beis HaUman. You can bring your kli to the Beis HaUman. Certain things you can't do. In other words, not the dyer. But to pick it up from the Beis HaUman, you can't do. And if there are issues of trust and you're worried that you're not going to see it after Yontif, so then what you can do is you can push it aside. So over here now, in the Braisa, it's clear that when there's a lack of confidence and a lack of trust, so then you're allowed to go ahead and pick it up. So the Gemara says, Taratza mevin molichin kasha. So the Gemara says, fine, but in the Braisa it also says that you can bring it there. So diktani ein mevin v'kol shekein ein molichin. So the Gemara says, now, It says ein mavien, you're not allowed to bring it there, and ein malichin, you're not allowed to pick it up. Ela machvar to kedushinina meikara. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what, I was much happier with the distinction of Chol HaMoed versus Erev Pesach. Because on Erev Pesach, yes, it has a quasi-yentif status, but the Kedusha of Erev Pesach is a notch lower than that of Chol HaMoed. So there, that's where you're allowed to bring it, that's where you're allowed to pick it up, good. And the Brisa that says that you're not allowed to pick it up, that's talking about on Chol HaMoed proper. The Gemara says that is a better way to resolve the discrepancy between the two Brisas. Good. Tomorrow, obviously, we start with the Mishnah. Okay, as a quick recap of today's daf, we finished off yesterday's discussion with a side-by-side comparison of Tisha B'Av to Yom Kippur and of Tisha B'Av to Tanis Sibur, and we had a couple of brises comparing the two. We noted that the brises were not making full comparisons, but rather what the brisa was doing was just noting that in certain respects, Tisha B'Av is more makel than Yom Kippur, and in certain respects, Tisha B'Av is more makel than a standard Tanis Sibur. The top of Nun Hei, we talked about the issue of being pretentious, looking like you are firmer than you actually are, which is a halachic consideration. And we noted that in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel not concerned with that. Chachamim are in the Mishnah in Brachos, the exact opposite regarding the Chasna saying Shema on the night of his Chasna. And what do we do? Either Muchlefes Ashita, just flip around one of the positions, or we can localize each of the issues. Good. Next Mishnah that we covered is the minhag of not doing malacha on Erev Pesach in the morning of. So first of all, as we learned in the Gemara's discussion, it is a machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Are we talking about a minhag? Are we talking about mamish and iser? And even for those who have the minhag of not doing malacha on the morning of, does that extend even to the night prior? That's a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Then We did the Mishnah on the bottom of Nun Hei and Aleph, talking about finishing a job on the morning of Erev Pesach. So you are allowed to finish a job, and as we qualified, a bit of a discussion in the Gemara, but the Gemara concluded that you're only allowed to finish a job that you need for Yontif. But if I don't need it for Yontif, then in Erev Pesach he can't even finish the job. Three professions are allowed to stay open on the morning of Erev Pesach. Your tailor, your barber, and your launder are allowed to stay open. There is a sheet of Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, that even the shoemaker is allowed to stay open on the morning of. And the Gemara noted what the machlokas is between the Tanakhama and Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. The Mishnah giving us three halachas of activities that are laborious, and therefore, under normal circumstances, the Tircha Yaseiras cannot be done on Erev Pesach, but certain allowances are made. Returning the hen to the egg, sweeping up the dung that's in front of the animals, and picking up your kalim from the craftsman. And the Gemara discussed each of them in slightly more detail. Adkan.